Grandhara Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 4, Chapter 30, Text Number 5, Suvarna Skanda Marudo, Meru Srunga Mivambuda, Peta Vata Manigreva, Kurvan Viti Miradisha. Translation: the personality of Godhead appearing on the shoulder of Garuda seemed like a cloud resting on the summit of mountain known as Meru. The transcendental body of personality of Godhead was covered by attractive yellow garments, and his neck was decorated with the jewel known as Kaustubha Mani. The bodily effulgence of the Lord dissipated all the darkness of the universe. The personality of Godhead appearing on the shoulder of Garuda seemed like a cloud resting on the summit of a mountain known as Meru. The transcendental body of the Supreme Lord was covered by attractive yellow garments, and his neck was decorated with jewel known as Kaustubha Mani. The bodily effulgence of the Lord dissipated all the darkness of the universe. Purport: as stated in Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishna Surya Sama, Maya Hai Andhakar, Yahan Krishna Tahan Nahi Maya Radhikar. The Lord is just like effulgent sun. Consequently, whenever the Supreme Personality of Godhead is present, there cannot be darkness or ignorance. Actually, this dark universe is illuminated by the sun, but the sun and the moon simply reflect the bodily effulgence of the Supreme Lord. In Bhagavad Gita, the Lord says, Prabhasmi Sati Suryayo, and the illuminating energy of both sun and the moon. The conclusion is that the origin of all life is the bodily effulgence of the Supreme Lord. This is also confirmed in Brahma Samhita, Yasya Prabha Prabhavato Jagadanda Koti. Being illuminated by the bodily effulgence of the Supreme Personality of God, everything is freed from all darkness. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnana Anjana Talakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Shri Gurave Nama Shri Chaitanya Mano Bhishtam Sthapitam Jena Bhutale Sayam Rupa Tadamayam Dadati Swapadantakam Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadha Sri Vasadi Gauravatam Haribol. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So, the Supreme Lord appears here in this material world, or sometimes on earth planet, to dispel so many misunderstandings, so many doubts people wrangle about. People say there is God or there is no God. And none of them know who is God. So Krishna personally comes here. Here I am God. Krishna comes here for those who are in the Mahamaya, who are enamored by the glitter of the material energy, to them Krishna shows his opulence. am the Lord and Master of everything. I am the controller of everything. I am stronger than everyone put together. Everyone put together, not just your strength is not equal to Krishna. No, putting everybody together, the entire universe with all its population together, Krishna can vanquish them in a fraction of time. So there is no comparison, superlative, to Krishna's supremacy. And similarly, people are doing research, speculation, and trying to unravel the mysteries of nature. But Krishna doesn't have to, because he is the creator, so he knows how everything is happening under his direction. So he comes to give us knowledge. Why you are wasting your time? Take this knowledge and become happy. The goal of knowledge is to become happy. The goal of knowledge is not knowledge itself. The goal of knowledge is to attain love for all living entities. That means you can be comfortable wherever you go. You will make others comfortable wherever you go. Like I was watching Revati pulling those people. Are they hearing me? So, whenever new people come, we should be, do you like to sit here, we have the class? They may not, they may have to go, leave it there. You don't have to prove yourself to be right. See, I can get everybody to do what I want. That should not be more. When new people come, they should find a gentle friend in you. They should find a guide. So say, do you like to come and sit here? Or you can say, you have to come and sit here. Now, is there a difference? Do you like to come and sit here? So no, we have to go, all right, leave there. Otherwise, they may think, we are forced here, but let's go. People don't like to be, generally people are egoistic. People are independent. So, only when they are approached respectfully, then they also have their choice. It's not that it's compulsory. Visitors come to the temple, that itself is a big thing. Visiting an ISKCON temple, it's a good beginning. So, now it depends on how you take care of them. So, it needs an intelligent person to preach. People are all different types, people are all in different moods, and people have different interests. So, but just people should find a good friend in us. We don't have to convince them anything. We don't have to teach them anything in the beginning. Because everything starts with Shraddha. Once they like you, then they will follow you. But they don't like you, but you want to teach them. It bounces back. So, the good thing to do is when people come, you go with them. And then you make friendship with them in such a way that they want to come with you. You go with them, okay, oh, you're doing MTech, very nice. Oh, you know, like that, you encourage them, you know, very nice, like that. So they say, we don't believe in God, very nice. You think about issues like that. Let them be, you know. The Prabhupada always used to keep people first comfortable and then slowly preaching is, it starts like expressing your opinions, exchanging your ideas, and finally you take the role of a guru as the person begins to submit. But not before that. First you create a good atmosphere, you create friendship, and then that's why generally we engage people. We don't preach so much because it's not one way in the modes of material nature. There's no point in preaching to them so much. What do they understand? No? So be good with them, and then slowly. So here, Krishna comes. To show his opulence, that no one is my competitor, no one is a match for me. And the people have to either by their good intelligence or Krishna will kick them on their face, be defeated. Krishna defeats. People voluntarily surrender to Krishna or get intolerable kicks from material nature. When people hear the instructions of Krishna, and when people see the beauty of Krishna, people voluntarily surrender. If they don't, then Krishna will anyway go ahead to do what he wants. Then anyone who confronts him, he will finish it for his own good. Krishna delivers them. When Krishna wants to speak to you and deliver you and you don't agree, then Krishna will kill you and deliver you. So, by his wisdom, by his wealth, by his strength, Krishna will subdue everyone. And those who are devotees, Krishna defeats them by reciprocation and love. Now we love only so much, but Krishna loves us, so we become very completely defeated. Like, what did we give to Krishna? And what did he give us in return? And how much we love Krishna, and how much Krishna loves us. Krishna loves us unconditionally and completely. Whereas with so many doubts, with so many conditions, with such a divided approach, we love Krishna. Then we think of so many things. So Krishna comes here on earth to establish that I am a person. Most of the people get stuck at this idea. They can't accept. They say they worship, they chant, they talk about Krishna, but ultimately, if you can examine their heart, you will find that they are actually impersonalist. They are Mayavadi. They think Krishna is also a person. We have a Maya body. They think Krishna is also. But Krishna is enlightened, so we call him God. They think like that, which is a great blunder, mistake. So, we meet so many people. Few days back, on Gita Jayanti Day evening, some instructor from Art of Living, the guy, Ravi Shankar, is a very popular person all over the world. And his subject is always Krishna, but he's not a Krishna devotee. His subject is always Krishna, but he's not a Krishna devotee. Prabhupada says to consider God as impersonal is the last snare in Maya. Now, Maya has many nets. Like you try to catch a person by running. If you cannot, then you take a bicycle or a motorcycle to catch a thief. Finally, what you'll do is shoot him down. It's a shoot at sight. Because he's not coming under your net. And he's doing, getting away to do what he likes. What you'll do? Shoot him down. So similarly, Maya has many nets. People will be attracted to money, people will be attracted to women, people will be attracted to prestige, and if a person can overcome all these things, then the last step is, why don't you become God yourself? Maya will offer you the post. Why don't you become God? This fool, Mayavadi, he doesn't understand that becoming God, God is already there. Becoming God is what? That sentence construction itself is wrong. You become God. That means from today you will become God or what? Before that he is God. So there is nothing like becoming God. You do some gimmicks, you do some yogic postures, and I have become God. No, you are not Prabhupada. See, whenever somebody says I am God, there are no mysterious forms of God. The God's forms are already declared, you know. Whenever big people come, before they come, their name, the details, no? If Pranab Mukherjee, President of India, is coming, he doesn't just come and go like that. Everybody will come to know, the district administration, the whole state government. Not a small thing, because everybody has to attend to him. Everybody is under him. Everybody should assist him. He is the head. all our bodily parts, they should behave. Suppose your hands doesn't listen to you, if your legs doesn't listen to you, how do you think you'll go on with life? Then let's go to the program. But your legs will go the other direction. Let's do this, but your hands will begin to do something else. That is called haunted. And a ghost takes you over. A haunted man, he cannot do what he likes. Because he's haunted by a ghost. So he's not in control of himself. So, to consider oneself as God, or to consider everything as God, or to consider God as no form, this is the last snare in the kingdom of Maya. If you can get out of that, that's why the Brahma Samhita, the Isopanishad says, Taranmayana Patrayana Satya Shapivita Mukham. Everybody is blinded by the glare or the effulgence of the Lord. You cannot look at the sun. Maybe morning sun you may see for a while. Then before your eyes you start finding black spots. And if you go on looking at the sun, and you become blind. Your eyes will be damaged. So people who are trying to attempt to know God or realize God on their strength, you will utterly fall short. That's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 11th chapter that I give you Divya Drishti, I give you special vision. You cannot see God with this Charma Chakshu. With your material eyes, you cannot see God. When Krishna gives you Divya Drishti, then you can see Him, not otherwise. So, Krishna will be inclined to someone who is trying to please his devotees. When you try to please Krishna devotees, don't worry about your direct relation with Krishna. Don't bother about that. Just worry about how can I make other devotees happy in a proper way. And then you see that Krishna gives you so many opportunities. Krishna gives you from within the intelligence. And if you are very sober and sincere, Krishna will show himself to you, inside and outside. Inside you see his beautiful form, outside you see that he is meticulously making arrangements for you. And you become very this thing. I'm just only trying to become a devotee, and Krishna is reciprocating. So this reciprocation is possible between people. So Krishna is a person. Krishna understands your mood. Krishna understands your need. And Krishna reciprocates. Yedamam prapadyante tanstadaya bhajamyaham. Mama vartaman vartanti manishya parda sarvasha. Krishna is dealing with every one of us exactly what we deserve, what we desire. So here we are listening to a beautiful description. The Lord has a form, then he can describe his form. Is he Sahasravadana? Is he thousand-headed form? Or is he two-headed form? Or Krishna has a human-like form? all doubts will be cleared. And does Krishna's body bleed? Is Krishna's body limited, like we are all limited in our abilities? Is Krishna limited like that? Our ability to, ability of perception, our ability of memory, our ability to grasp, everything is limited. And that is also given by Krishna. And we can improve it by taking shelter of Krishna and by acting favorably to the instructions of Krishna, we can get reciprocation. To the non-devotees, he will give intelligence only to the extent they deserve. But to the devotees, he can give intelligence like himself. Hanuman. Hanuman is the biggest scholar. Brahmaji, Shankarji, Naradji. They're called Trikalagna. Trikalagna means they know past, present and future. It's possible if Krishna wants. Or Krishna is telling you from within. You can say, this is going to happen. Not a difficult thing. So, Krishna's description is super excellent because his beauty is incomparable beauty and ever-increasing beauty. Ever-increasing beauty. There is no example like that in this world. All our beauties are like fresh flowers for half an hour, for 1 hour, and then but again go and look into the mirror and beautify yourself. No? That is our beauty. But Krishna's beauty, whether his hair is disheveled, whether he is playing with the mud also beautifies. You know, if you get into the mud, you become very ugly. You look like witches. But when Krishna plays with mud and his body is covered with all dust and like that, and still Krishna's beauty increases. It's like a uncut diamond, raw diamond. Raw diamond, its value is no less than a real diamond. Because it's the same diamond, it is raw, it has the polish. So, like a uncut diamond, whether it is looking like diamond or not, its value is the same. So Krishna, whatever he does, he may do immoral activities, but and only petty-minded, foolish people may dare to comment why Krishna did this, Krishna did something not right, like that. That means it is height of arrogance that people dare to comment on Krishna. Whatever Krishna does, immediately people, all great scholars and devotees, they whatever Krishna says or does, immediately people, you know, people like Bhishma, people like Kunti, all of them, they were very wondrous how Krishna cannot be so easily understood. Because only when you anoint your eyes with love of God, Premanjana Shrita Bhakti Vilochanena Santas Sadeva Hrudayeshu Vilokayanti Yasyama Sundara Machintya Gunaswarupam Govinda Madhi Purusham Tamaham Bhajami Achintya. Everything about Krishna is inconceivable. No matter how many centuries you try to understand Krishna's creation, what to talk of Krishna. Like people sometimes, a Nobel laureate, he will write some classics, say literature, and it is a subject for study in PhD or in English literature. In English literature, what do people do? They study this kind of books, no? And they want to understand the authors, they want to capture the imagination of the author. Because the author is so wonderful, and we are students. And then you want to understand, why did he use word like this? Why did he describe the context like this? And what is going to be the movement of the theme? That is the greatness of the author. You weave the story, you fabricate the story in such a way that it makes you very captivated. That's how people rate the novels. And people become attracted to read such and such an author's literature. So Krishna also, every moment, Krishna does something wonderful, something novel, and something that people have to think a lot. Why did God, why did Krishna appear on earth? In Bhagavatam there are 50 reasons they were told. Why did Krishna appear on earth? We may know some reasons, but depending on how deeply you can think, you know, maybe Krishna has come for you. Maybe Krishna has come to... Because Krishna's coming is all auspiciousness. So Krishna's body, Krishna's appearance is described in this verse. What does he look like? What does he wear? What kind of ornaments he has? And what kind of carrier? We cannot fly on a bird. No birds can fly like that. Garuda. Garuda is a special bird. Suparna. Suparna means one who has golden feathers. Or when Garuda, it flicks its feathers, and then Vedic mantras will come out. You know, when the trees move, there is a rustling of the leaves. But when Garuda flashes his wings, and then Vedic mantras are heard, and the whole situation gets transcendental charge. And there is nothing Garuda cannot do. Garuda is as powerful as Krishna. Sometimes the Lord's job, Garuda will go and do. And Garuda will never be proud. So we can also be empowered by Krishna, provided you follow the system. You follow the Guru Parampara, you follow the rules and regulations, you do the sadhana bhakti, and the whole central idea is how to please the devotees. That is the secret of devotional service. Senior or junior, this or that. You can be well-wisher of juniors, you can be, you know, a loyal servant to the seniors. Service is the backbone. Whether Guru will serve the disciples, disciples will serve the Guru, and together they serve Krishna, and Krishna reciprocates our service by his wonderful service dealings with us. So, this is spiritual life is always satisfying. Once you come to real spiritual life and you are really into it, and you will never look back. You never have to look back in your life. Did I do all right? Am I fully satisfied? And will I ever reconsider the decision I have taken that devotional service will give you such realization which you did not get in all your past births, no? So once you have the experience, you will never look back. Your past life is simply like a what? You call it a wild dream. Once you become a devotee and you look into your past life, what were my moods, what were my sentiments, what were my likes, what were my plans, then you think, I was such a fool to be doing things like that. So there is a gulf of difference when you become a devotee, when you are not a devotee. Because so much enlightenment is there, and so much transformation is there, and so much steadiness is there, so much satisfaction is there, and so much selfless service is there. No, devotees work hard, not for any personal profit. They work hard because to work for Krishna, they feel happy. To work for others, they feel happy. So we don't ever think, why should we do such big, big festivals? Why should we do such big, big temples? And why all day we have to be meeting people? In other temples, there will be a watchman there. He will be reminding everybody there. Because we are so forgetful. So get ready, we have to go to the program now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Grandharasa Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki, everybody.